Okay, oh, no problem. I'd like to call the House Finance Committee meeting to order. We do have a quorum today with Representative Moses, Kelly, Foster, Terrio, myself, Representative Mulder, Davies, and Grusador. Schedule for today, we're going to try and be done by 3 o'clock. We've got other meetings that are going on. What I wanted to do is get the draft CS adopted. We've got a spreadsheet that explains, and I will go through. I didn't intend to have a lot of testimony today. We can ask questions if we need to after we get through the whole thing, if people have specific questions, and then any can work on amendments for tomorrow. We have it back as the only issue on the calendar for tomorrow as well. So the intent is to get this out, let people see it, explain a little bit of it, and then we'll go from there and try and take final action. The goal is to have it passed out of finance tomorrow. We'd like to get this thing moving. It is a supplemental. Try not to have it pass with the budget at the end. So with that, I would like to get a motion to adopt the CS, and then we'll discuss it if possible. Representative Mulder?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt work draft slash E as our working document in place of House Bill 113.
Your objection? Hearing none, we'll adopt that as the working draft. Everybody, I think, has the spreadsheet, and I think that's the easiest way to work through the explanation. And I think I will just go through with everybody's information and start off with the different sections and describing the differences. And then when I get through, I guess if somebody wants to interrupt me on one, that's fine, but I'd like to get through most of this, answer a few questions, and then if we don't have any others, adjourn for today. The leasing section, the number is not what the governor had requested in the supplemental. The difference, we have utilized the numbers to bring the leasing up to the governor's 98 request in the numbers of GF and other funds that we saw in the budget. So we've brought with the supplemental the 97 budget up to the 98 request. In Section 2, a similar thing in the Office of Public Advocacy, this amendment would bring, I believe, the Office of Public Advocacy up to the number that is being recommended by the House Subcommittee. It does include an amendment to the 98 budget that was, or partial funding of an amendment that was proposed by the governor in the 98 budget. But I believe, Representative Davis, there's a slight reduction from the full amendment in the subcommittee. Is that correct?
Yes.
So this is to be consistent with the House Subcommittee recommendation that is going to be offered on the Department of Administration. So this supplemental will bring it up to that level. The same thing in the Public Defender's Office. It would bring it up to the 98 amended request, even with some changes. Actually, it's going to bring it up to the 98 House Subcommittee recommendation, I believe, that is going to be proposed. So that one was fully funded, but according to the governor's request. Sections 4 with E4s for new retirees is the same as the governor's Section 5. Some of these, the settlement on the leasing situation. Section 6, the DEC lab settlement, is the same as the governor's request. Number 6, but these are all in Section 1. I was reading down the left-hand side, the numbers, I guess, not the sections. Number 7, 8, and 8 are Sections 2A and B is the science and tech language that was suggested in an amendment by the governor. We have included that. The number 9 on the far left-hand side, which is Section 3, is included the request by the governors at their level. The PCE request, power cost equalization, is included at the requested level. There was an additional amendment to make sure that once the general fund money went into the PCE fund, there was money that came out. That is also for the PCE program. That is also included. The Section 4C, or number 12 on the far left-hand side, is included at the governor's number. The disaster relief fund, you can see instead of the $1 million that was requested, is put in at $415,000. If you remember the backup, we did not include the amount that suggested $585,000 was encumbrance for FY98 out of this fund. We thought it was more appropriate that that amount of money, if it's in FY98, be appropriated in FY98 as either an amendment or within the budget process. Numbers 14, 15, 16, and 17, which are is section 6, A, B, C, and D, are all RPLs that were deferred from the Budget and Audit Committee to us, and they have been included. If you turn to the second page of the spreadsheet, 6, E, and F, which are 18 and 19, are also included at the governor's level. The Fairbanks Correctional Center boiler in number 20, or section 7A, has been included at the governor's number. The section 7B, the capital project for radio equipment, has been included in disaster planning and control at the governor's number. And section 22 for DNR 7C is the Perseverance Trail. We have reduced the $200,000 in that budget to $120,000. That was the estimate needed for the blasting that would have to occur on the thing so they could actually get the blasting going. A lot of the other projects, in my opinion and others I talked to, yes, there's some cleanup of trails that needs to be done and some other fixes that need to occur, but the blasting, clearly, if they're going to get the trail fixed, probably needs to get started, so we've reduced it by the $80,000 to allow the blasting part, but not the others within the bill. Section 8, carry forward of federal funds. Sections 9A, which is adult public assistance. 9B, which was Indian Health Service Medicaid reimbursement rates. 9C, which was foster care. 9D, which was McLaughlin. And 9E, which was a tuberculosis control and elimination program, have all been included at the governor's level requested. Section 10A. Is
your scratch down too?
No, mine is. I got an earlier version. Yeah, that section is included. That was to fix the... It's in the bill. That is the section that tries to ratify the past practices where our auditors identified some dispute over illegal encumbrances, but trying to get back on an actual budget. We do have a letter from the Attorney General saying that that practice is not going to occur in the future, so we get back on actual lines. So this is a method to kind of ratify that approach that is in. Judgments and claims in Section 10B are included. In Section 11A, I've got to look, which is number 31 on the left, the difference there is that we included all the equipment costs for the emergency alert system, but did not include... So we funded the equipment costs for this particular line, but did not include the travel, personal services, and contractual that were included in that. So that includes the equipment costs. Number 32, and which is 11B, and number 33, which is 11C, essentially funds the governor's level. A little different process. If you look on 32, it looks like there's a shortfall in other funds, but if you turn the page there, actually... on the next page, so those are included at the governor's request. So on page 3 of the spreadsheet, starting with all of section 12, which is the left-hand numbers 34 through 40, are those miscellaneous stale-dated warrants and claims that are in there. They were included at the governor's request level. In section 13A, fire suppression was included at the governor's level that was requested. 13B, you'll notice just a little bit of difference there. We have, in 42 and 43, we have added another section. We've split the amount that's estimated to be needed to actually pay for the veterans' amounts that's owed them from the amount that's to be done for research. We did not want the $20,000 that was to go back and do research. We don't want them eating into what was estimated to be owed, so we split those two out in different appropriations. But the full amount requested is there. Section 13D, which is number 44 on the left, is the Old Eagle School site, was included at the governor's level. Section 14A, which is the VPSO, allowing that extension of those, that contract money to occur is included as the governor requested. 14B is the Council on Domestic Violence, included at the governor's level. Numbers 47 through 51 are all in section 15, which ratify over expenditures are all included at the governor's request. The section 16A, which is the management fees for the CVRF, is included. The in section 16B, which I understand, I've talked to Ms. McConnell earlier today, we had included the amount of money for the permanent fund dividend program to pay those, but I understand now that we probably do not need to include that section. They can probably testify to that, but I think they're going to ask that we remove that section. They have the ability to pay those permanent funds that were in dispute that are now settled out of, well, I don't understand all of how they're going to do it, but they've asked that apparently we don't need to make this additional appropriation. So that section, which is 16B, will probably come out.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Davies.
Back to 16A, what was the reason for the reduction there?
They had actually suggested $6,000 for each month, a reduction of $6,000 for each month that we did not pass it, and I think was based on March being passed or something. I think we may be able to even reduce more, but I think they will agree with this number. This is not, the longer we go in the year, the less amount of time they have to pay the fees, so.
The less income we get from having made the move.
Correct.
Right.
That's correct. But I mean, this is not, this was based on their estimate, not something we didn't agree with. In the Marine Highway Stabilization Fund, that we had a recommendation from Legislative Finance, which we can, for the reduced amount on increased fuel costs, and if we would like tomorrow, we can have a discussion about that or have them testify. On page 4, section 17B, the consent decree, frankly, I don't like it, but as we go through the process, I guess our option is to go back to federal court. They've estimated we are at risk of losing something. At that point, it would go into the federal treasury, so given that option or this option, I included this amount, although I think it's a little bit dangerous only because we've had a couple circumstances like this where essentially the Attorney General's office negotiates appropriations for specific projects, and if there's certain cases that it makes sense, then that's fine. I just don't want to get in that habit where we get tied and we either get the money or we don't based on specific projects that have to be funded, and when the consent decree is signed, if you don't fund those projects, the agreement's null and void. But in this particular circumstance, it's the better of a bad circumstance, I guess. So it is included at the number. 18A and 18B. 18A is the trial court's request. We did include that. 18B, there was it's listed under the governor's request, although it's really the court system. We actually included more money than they had requested, and I will explain that. When the salary increases were funded last year in the special session, apparently there was not money put in for this particular group on judicial conduct for their salary increases. That's the $7,400 over on the House versus Governor that we have included that amount to be fair with them. Beyond what their request of $23,000 was for increased hearing costs that they have going on. So you see an amount above the request level there. The next few sections are not sections, actually. Number 58 on the left-hand side, this is the $2.3 million worth of fines that have been levied by Cleary. In the past, I believe in the House, we have included those numbers. They have been removed. On the other side, we always had language indicating that the if the money went anywhere other than the general fund, of course, the money was not appropriated. We have a copy of one of the agreements from August of 96, and I'd be happy to pass it out if you want to read it, becomes quite clear. The state is arguing, obviously, that the money go in the general fund. The plaintiffs are arguing, in the case, that the money be used for one of three things, either, I can't remember exactly what they are, new housing or a bail program for prisoners, or direct funding of the money go directly to the inmates. The court, in reading the decision, indicated they weren't interested in trying to give it directly to the prisoners, was interested in using it for specific projects, though it did not sound very much like the court was even interested in putting it in the general fund. So it has not been included at this point in the supplemental. The fences around McLaughlin Youth Center and Fairbanks Youth Facility are not included. At one point I was going to take the $2.3 million of additional AHSC funds that are available this year, and one of the amendments that was suggested, and we'll talk about it later on, was spending that money for the academy, and I think it was women's dorms in Sitka for the training academy. That's AHSC funds. That $2.3 million does not go away. I think we're going to address whether or not we want to do fencing at McLaughlin and Fairbanks, or whether we want to do a Troopers Academy expansion, or whether we want to use that $2.3 million for things like Johnson Youth Center here in Juneau, which is one of the suggestions last year that money be used for. I think we're going to debate in the capital budget rather than try and put them in the supplemental, where we don't have as much scrutiny, and also these projects are going to have to compete against other projects that are out there. So the fencing for those two facilities is not included, nor is the communications equipment. There's about a $6 million, now it's a $3 million, let's see, section number 60, there was a request. This $200,000 was part of a six-year, $3 million project. As I looked more at it, I had a hard time differentiating what was absolutely critical. We did fund some of the emergency things earlier on in the supplemental that appeared to be related to things that might occur emergency-wise, you know, fires or things like that. But this one, I think, is part of a larger capital budget item that I think needs to be in the capital budget. We've removed the original section out of here for the sovereignty issue. Obviously, that was funded earlier. None of the rest are in the program. We have in the Medicaid provider fraud division, a switch from GF match to general fund program receipts. We did not include the, on the treasury management number 64, there was intent in there that suggested if we're going to do the $25,000 in the CBR management fees, that we need to include the amount for next year to do the management fees. Obviously, they want to know, but I think by the time we get through this process, it's my intent that if it makes sense, and it sounds like it does, that we make sure that that amount is in the budget that we propose. Now, I don't think it is in Representative Martin's closeout, but I would definitely entertain adding that in at the full committee. So my intent is to include that amount of money, which means we don't need to have intent in the...
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Martin.
Get up to date with you for me. I was looking at the committee substitute. Have we accepted this one?
Yes.
For 17. So basically, that stops, as I see it here in section 18. These others that you're talking about on page 5
are
have
not
been enrolled yet.
Correct.
Okay.
It's not my intent to include them, and they would have to be added as amendments if individuals
wanted.
Another
$10 million bucks.
Yeah. So, where did I leave off on? 64. Number 65, we had talked to our Mr. Welker, had suggested this was not appropriate. The money had lapsed. If there's money needed to pay for these particular programs, and I think we need some more information from the department, it may be a supplemental approach to make an additional appropriation. That may be more an appropriate way if they don't actually have money. The money lapsed, according to our auditor, so that his suggestion was not to include this particular section. Number 66, I think we have some discussion with our fiscal analyst that they have available money at API. Mm-hmm. The 67 was $4,300 worth of travel to allow the chief of measures to attend a national conference. They do have travel already in their fiscal 97 budget for convention and meeting travel in this area, and so we denied that particular amount. The, as we discussed earlier, number 68 was the $2.1 million, I guess, of the $2.3 million of HFC funds that was suggested for the Training Academy construction of a women's facility in Sitka. That was not included, and I think, as I said, that along with the fencing at McLaughlin and also possibly Johnson Youth Center, any other things that may be funded out of the HFC dividend will be considered in the capital budget. So that is a summary. You can see the areas where we've changed things and roughly why. The back page, obviously, is the ones that have not been included at all. The total at this point in GF is, if you look on the very back page there, is about $12.466.6, about $12.5 million. That does include the $1 million that we already appropriated for both the legislature and the governor on the Venify case. So that is a summary of the changes in the supplemental. If anybody has any specific questions, I'd be happy to answer them, but about 15 minutes. Again, the intent is to come back tomorrow, deal with any specific sections that people want to through amendments, and if people have any other questions, we can answer them. Secretary?
Mr. Chairman, what's the total on the RPLs that were passed by budget and audit that then will be added to this figure as far as total supplemental spending?
We'll have to get that information. When we passed our spending plan last year, we had a total, I believe, of $17 million, and we'll double-check this for a supplemental. But I think we had about $2.3 or $2.6 million estimated for RPLs. And I think the RPLs are at 3.3 or something. So if you want to look at our spending plan, it would mean a little less money available for the supplemental, because we spent a little more than we planned on RPLs. So I think we're roughly $1 million over in our RPLs than the spending plan that we had at the end of last session. So to fit within that spending plan, we need to be probably at $16 million for the, at no more than $16 million for the supplemental. And we're at this point at quite a bit under that, 12.5.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Martin?
Just one slight difference from the detail sheet here in the supplemental that we have now. The House concurrent one for 317. And general fund, we have $11,230,000, and the total you have on the good sheet you gave us here shows $11,397,000. It's about
right.
$160,000. Is that floating?
I don't know. We'll double check
okay.
that.
I am surprised that all the other funds jumping up so quick.
Well, part of it, you know, Indian Health Service had $10 million alone.
Oh, that one alone, yeah.
And in federal funds. And there were actually a bunch of those RPLs, Representative Martin, are included, those education ones.
Right.
There were
okay.
millions of dollars in education RPLs that were included. So that's where they were, as well as
put it all on your
I mentioned about $3 million in permanent funds, although those will come out at the request of the mm-hmm. Office of Management and Budget. Any other questions, Representative Davies?
Thank you. On number 63 on page 5, what was the rationale for denying that fund switch?
I don't remember, Representative Davies. I'm going to have to check. I'll get an answer for it. Yeah. Any other questions? If not, then we'll adjourn for today, and we'll have this bill back up tomorrow with amendments. And like I said, my intent is to pass the bill out tomorrow and get it moving along the way. So.
That's wonderful. You put on the dirty work on your shoulder.